Nuketown Radioactive number 32 for Tuesday, June 27th, 2006. Well, folks, welcome back to Radioactive. Thanks for hanging in there. I know it's been a really long time since the last issue of Radioactive came out, but I have a really good excuse for not getting out any podcasts, and that is this. On June 14th at 6:13 p.m., Sue gave birth to a bouncing baby boy. His name is Lucas Kenneth Newquist, and he weighed 8 pounds and 3 ounces and measured 22 inches long. He's got blue eyes, his mom's red hair, and, obviously I'm biased, but he's just one heck of a beautiful kid. so for the last 2 weeks, we've been, adjusting to life with Lucas. My daughter Jordan's been adjusting to life with Lucas, and just trying to get back into a routine, trying to figure out what his routine is. So, we're just really excited. I mean, the first time around, we were really excited to, just to have a baby, and we were just ecstatic with Jordy. And of course, we would have been happy with a girl too, the second time around. But, it's really nice to be able to have a boy, to have that yin and yang with Jordy, and just, to have another boy around the house. It's going to be awesome, We were both very excited about that. So it's really what we were hoping for. We really wanted a boy and a girl, and now we've got it. So now it's just a question of getting some sleep and trying not to get on everybody's nerves when, people haven't been getting as much sleep as they'd like, and figuring out what Lucas likes and figuring out, how to make sure that Jordan doesn't feel left out of everything. And to that end, Jordy and I have been playing an awful lot. We've been going to the movies. We went to see Cars, which was a fun movie for Jordan, I think. She really enjoyed it. She's going to go to see it again with her grandparents. Not too many scary moments in it, which is always good, because, some of the Pixar movies are great, but Jordy has a tendency to get freaked out by scary stuff. So, like, in The Incredibles, she was freaked out when the robot started smashing stuff, and I think in Finding Nemo, she wasn't a real big fan of the shark scene. So, Cars, there weren't really that many sections that were like that. There was one bit with a kind of runaway, enraged Combine, but that was about it. For the most part, it was a pretty straightforward, fun little movie, so that was one of the things we did. We've been playing a lot of Animal Crossing on my Nintendo DS. And we've also just been kind of hanging out, playing with Legos, just doing the father-daughter thing, give Sue some time with Lucas, and, make Jordan feel that she's not being left out by the arrival of the baby. So far, she's been doing really good. I mean, she was pulling for a sister. She really wanted one, and we had some discussions about that after Lucas came, about how she thought he should really, really be a girl, and so that she could have a sister. But I think she's adjusting to it now. So, wow, it's just been a crazy couple of weeks. So the baby's here, and that's awesome. The other baby that's been kind of in development for the last couple of weeks, and that is really the reason why there hasn't been a whole lot going on Nuketown, because with the baby being here, there isn't a heck of a lot of time left for me to work on other things, aside from, like, some freelance projects. And this other project, which would, of course, be the never-ending Nuketown beta, but here's the cool thing, folks, it is almost over. It's been moving forward at a fairly frantic pace, with major chunks falling into place almost every day. I've been trying to allocate at least, like, 15 minutes a day to be able to sit down and knock out one little thing here, one little thing there, one big thing. And for the most part, I'm almost there. I'm almost ready to throw the switch. The last thing is actually Radioactive. I'm using a content management system called Drupal. And in order to be able to upload files to Drupal, you need to be able to have a certain level of mojo on the web server. And unfortunately, I do not have that mojo because it was not granted to me. And as a result, I have to kind of like jump through a bunch of hoops on the back end to FTP the files up and then do some, Jedi mind tricks to convince Drupal that yes, the files are there and you can get to them. Which is it sounds kind of fairly complicated, and it is. So it's kind of going in and screwing around with the database and getting everything working. But the good news is it's really, really, really firming up. I may be throwing the switch this week. I have to get the Radioactive stuff finished, and I have to get a couple of new links added to the site. But aside from that, we're pretty much good to go. So I think probably on Probably on Thursday or Friday, I'm going to request that the DNS entries be switched over so that they point to the new site. And once that happens, it'll start propagating and you guys can access the new site. And when you do, it's going to be awesome. You're going to be able to register, people are going to be able to post comments, and I will try and get another Radioactive up as soon as the new site switches over so that people know that it's there. Because one of the things I'm finding is that a lot of people really are getting their Nuketown-related news through the podcast. So anyway, that's the cool development on that front. If you want to know how things are going, you want to get things more in detail with regards to that, you can check it out at theatomicage.blogspot.com. There'll be a link to that in the show notes. Basically, with the new site coming up, I'm trying not to post anything new to Nuketown if I can avoid it. The exception will be this podcast. Just because, you know, everything that I post to the old Nuketown, I have to pour it over to the new Nuketown, and it's just kind of a pain in the ass to have to do the same job twice. Which, unfortunately, is the downside of that the site really hasn't been updated that much in the last month. But, anyway, if you want to know what's going on, check out the blog.
Hi, this is Connor from the Heartbeat Monkey, and you're listening to Nuketown Radioactive. Hi, Jordan.
Many thanks to Mick from the Harpy Monkey for that promo. You can check out the Harpy Monkey at harpymonkey.com. It is definitely a very cool podcast. I love listening to the roundtable stuff. I love listening to the variety show that they do too. I don't know if variety show is the right word. the essay show they do would probably be a better description. But you know what, folks? I gotta admit, I haven't listened to any podcasts in probably about 3 weeks, which is hard for me to admit because I love my podcasts, but I haven't been walking to work much because of, well, Pennsylvania is actually looking a lot like Seattle, so it's raining continuously. I haven't been at work much, and I've been trying to finish up George R. R. Martin's A Feast of Crows, which has been my audiobook. So between all those things, I haven't had much chance to do the podcast, but I will, because you know that in order for me to catch up on my podcast, I need to do some home improvement. And then it looks like this weekend, if I want to stay living at my house, I'm going to need to fix the kitchen sink. So, you know, good opportunity for some more podcasts right there, right? Now, talking about sites of note, I do have a couple that I want to talk about, because I think in the last podcast, I kind of hit on the whole organization thing, the geek organization thing, and trying to get my desk organized. And at that moment in time, I actually had accomplished that task. But looking upon my desk now, I can see that it is once again a cataclysmic ruin. I've got stacks of comic books, Battlestar Galactica card games, some Eberron books, the old box for my 360. Yes, I got a 360. More on that in a future podcast. Just like crap everywhere. So clearly, I am in need of getting organized once again. Thus, the theme for these most of the sites this week. The first one is for you Mac folks out there. It's called Quicksilver. You can get it at quicksilver.blacktree.com. And what this basically is if you merged Spotlight, which is kind of like the operating system level search engine for the Mac, and a fast application launcher, and if you merge those two things together, you'd get Quicksilver. Quicksilver basically allows you to index everything on your machine, including bookmarks, files, applications, whatever, and then lets you do stuff with it. For example, I can do a search for Rush, which pulls up a list of all of my playlists for Rush in iTunes, and then I can choose from one of those playlists and play it. And I can do that without ever having to go into iTunes or get out of Quicksilver, and it's all just a couple of quick key clicks. I can also type in, say, Firefox, and it will launch Firefox. And I find that it's really cool for kind of accessing those applications, like, for example, Audacity, that I use frequently, but I don't use them frequently enough to justify space in my dock. And I don't want to necessarily clutter up my desktop with it. So it's a pretty cool application. It also has integration with Delicious Bookmarks, and I use Delicious an awful lot. So, you know, that level of connection is pretty cool. And just generally speaking, it's really cool. I use it at home, I use it at work, and I won't say that I can't live without it, but I really wouldn't want to live without it. So definitely, if you've got a Mac and you're looking for ways to streamline kind of your working experience, I say go with Quicksilver. Now, next up in terms of organization is a website called 43 Folders, which its theme is get a plan, get some software, and get organized. It's a good organizational site in general, and it's great for Mac users in particular, and this would be the site where I discovered Quicksilver. They're very much into a book called Getting Things Done, which I haven't read, but I've heard varying good things about. if you're not into that book, or if you don't like that book, don't worry about it, because they still have lots of cool ideas. I mean, occasionally you get these getting things done posts, but a lot of it is just stuff that you can use. It's just different ways to think about organizing data on your computers, different ways to think about, in my case, cleaning off my desk, finding the bottom of my desk. Oh, look, there's a Pepsi can from 2 weeks ago. you know, that kind of stuff. Another cool site for increasing your productivity. Actually, wait, let me back up for a second. 43 folders you can find at www.43folders.com. The next site is called Life Hacks, and it's at www.lifehacks.com. And it's just kind of basically different ideas for getting productive or just getting geeky. and it's a cool site. It's kind of hard to pin down exactly what it's about. There's a whole bunch of different posts that end up on here. But here's an example. If you've ever wondered if you could control your home computer through email, then this site is for you. Now, there's one last thing I want to talk about, and I think I talked about it on the last podcast, or maybe the podcast before that, but it's Random Signal. I do like to plug Random Signal a lot, because it is an awesome podcast. In fact, of the podcasts that I've listened to in the last couple of weeks, or haven't listened to, the one that I have is Random Signal, and I've been listening to a little bit of Geek Foo, but mostly Random Signal is the one that I actually took the time to sit down and listen to, because I think one of the reasons why is because the podcast usually features a lot of music, so it's easy for me to kind of listen to it in the morning while I'm getting my stuff ready. Whereas your talk shows, I can't program and listen to talk podcasts at the same time. It just can't do it. I'm just not that multitasking able. But my point here is not to ramble on once again about Random Signal, but to give it just a hat tip out there to say that it's 1 year old. It's cool. I definitely suggest that you check it out. And many congratulations to Jason to reaching that impressive milestone. And you can check it out at www.randomsignal.com.
I'm Mark Kinney.
And I'm Chris Heim.
And we have a podcast called All Games Considered. All Games Considered is a show about tabletop gaming in all its forms.
We don't really talk about video games.
In fact, we don't at all.
We try to stick to a certain theme in each show.
And sometimes we even succeed.
We're not that bad, are we?
Yes, we're an irreverent bi-weekly taste of gaming.
We'll help you find some free games out there. Maybe some rare, little-known games.
We'll tell you how to improve your games by ripping off the mass media.
We have special guests once in a while.
Or at least we hope to.
We'll even tell you where to find a convention or two.
Check out our webpage at allgamesconsidered.blogspot.com. You'll find links to the shows and our RSS feeds.
We're also available through iTunes.
All Games Considered is a proud member of the Sci-Fi Podcast Network and the Gaming Podcast Network. So remember, All Games Considered.
.blogspot.com.
Now, in the last podcast, I talked about my summer reading list. And, you know, one of the things that's kind of amazing since Luke has come is that I've actually had time to read, because when you're holding a baby, there's not a heck of a lot of other things that you can do. I mean, especially if they're just kind of like, you know, you're bouncing them or whatever. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, you play with the baby for a while, obviously, and you do all of that, but then eventually you kind of reach this point where there's nothing left to do except read a book. So I have been reading just a huge amount of stuff since Luke was born, and surprisingly, I've managed to actually knock out two books off my summer reading list, which I'm quite proud of. The first of those books was Transmetropolitan, Back on the Street. One of the kind of amazing things since Lucas came is that I've actually been able to read some of the books on my reading list. In fact, I've read two books on my summer reading list since Lucas has come, and partly this is because I took off a week from work, and partly because, you know, when you're holding a baby, and it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, there's not a heck of a lot of other things that you can do, right? You know, I mean, you're bouncing him, you're talking to him, whatever, but, you know, why not read a book? So I have been reading books to him. I read John Scalzi's Ghost Brigades to Lucas at various times. The book I didn't actually read to him because, you know, even for a one-week-old, not quite appropriate, was Transmetropolitan, Back on the Street by Warren Ellis and Derek Robertson. 72 pages long, published by Vertigo, and, you know, the thing is, I wasn't sure if I was going to like this book, partly because I haven't really been a big fan of Warren Ellis. Now, you know, over on Comicology, Neil has talked up Warren Ellis a lot, and frankly, my only exposure to him has really been through his run on the X-Men, which I really didn't enjoy it at all. I felt like it just wasn't really in keeping with the X-Men, and it felt like he was kind of meshing his style with the team that I've been reading for years. And, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing, right? You know, sometimes a new writer comes in, mixes things up, but it was too extreme. It felt like it was too forced, and it just wasn't fitting with the way I like my X-Men to be. That having been said, Transmetropolitan is something else entirely, and I'm glad that I read it. And now, thank you, all of the people I know can stop bugging me about reading it, because I tell you, like, Jason from Random Signal, Baron from UncleBear.com, you know, it seems like every time I turn around, somebody's mentioning this freaking book. Maybe not to me directly, but they're talking about it. And now I have actually read it, and I understand what they're talking about. This book follows the half-crazed Gonzo-style reporting of Spider Jerusalem, who is a journalist-turned-author-turned-mountain-man-turned-reporter. And in the graphic novel, in the first version, in the first... there's actually a whole series of them, because it was actually a comic book run. In this first graphic novel, he returns to the city in order to write the two books that he's promised to his publisher, and his publishers kind of imply that he's going to do some nasty things to him if he doesn't actually get the books turned in. So in the process of returning to the city, which, and the whole process of him showing up in the city is funny, because you've got this whole internal monologue that's going as he's describing what he sees, and the perspective is just fantastic. I mean, it's dark, and it's very black humor, but it's a hell of a fun read. So anyway, he's coming back down off the mountain, he's talking about his previous time in the city. He gets back into the city. He gets a job with his old friend, who's now a city editor at one of the newspapers. You know, and his city editor doesn't trust him at all, because Jerusalem's just kind of like has a tendency to run off on tangents. So, like, here's an example of how little he trusts him. He gives him a phone, but the only person who can use the phone is his editor to call him. And this can give you an insight into Jerusalem's personality. After his editor calls him and he realizes how exactly the phone is set up to work, he convinces this two-headed cat that he adopted off the street to pee on the phone. So, it's that kind of comic book. As Jerusalem, again, integrates himself back into the city, he gets caught up in a rebellion by the Transients, who are humans who are in the process of transforming themselves into gray aliens. Which, in and of itself, is kind of cool. I mean, it takes the whole body modification thing to the next level, where, you know, it's not enough to just tattoo yourself. It's not enough to, you know, get piercings and stuff. But, you know, given the opportunity and access to the DNA, would you transform yourself into an entirely different species just to experience something new or to make a statement or whatever? So that was a pretty cool idea. I wasn't really expecting that cool of a sci-fi hook to it. And I think that's one of the things that really endeared me to this book. It's a fast, furious, brutal read. It's got the visuals to match. It's definitely not for the weak of heart. But, I mean, the reporter in me, and many years ago I was one, loves the idea of just being able to break into a building, throw down some gunfire against the inevitable yes-men who try and stand between you and a source, and demand an interview. You know, not necessarily killing anyone, but, you know, just try to cut through the crap. And Spider Jerusalem cuts through the crap. And the best quote in this book, which is, again, this is one of those things where I just kind of like really enjoyed it, because as I'm reading the book, I'm kind of calling to mind these stupid school board meetings I had to cover, you know, in the mid-90s when I was a reporter. So the quote is this: "As I was just saying, journalism is just a gun. It's only got one bullet. But if you aim it right, that's all you need. Aim it right, and you blow a kneecap off the world." And that's an awesome quote. I mean, hell, you know, I think if I ever get to the point where I return to journalism as a teacher, which is something I really would like to do at some point, I think that, you know, the standard thing is you have people watch All the President's Men. And I would love to, in the non-standard way, have them read these graphic novels, because it's just cool. It's this whole idea of just a whole different approach to being a journalist, and this whole idea of journalist as I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but the whole idea of just like this, not necessarily journalist as action hero, but, you know, it's kind of like journalist is a good guy. Journalist is kind of like the check on government power. You know, journalist is being something more than just a yes man. You know, it's more than just kind of like a suit on CBS or NBC or whatever. journalist as blogger. How about that? So, overall, I really enjoy the graphic novel. Quick read. I'm going to be reading through it again. I've already actually started reading through it again once. It's a fast read. I definitely would recommend picking it up, although I was kind of disappointed. One of the themes that came up, folks, when I was trying to do my reading list this summer was I couldn't actually find the books that were on it in the bookstore. So I had to go to Amazon and get this graphic novel and get Ghost Brigades and get a couple of the other books that I'm planning on reading this summer just because I couldn't find them in freaking Borders or even Barnes & Noble. So how much does that suck? So anyway, I think I'm coming down off my caffeine high now. It's great to be recording the podcast again. It's great to have the new Nuketown just about ready to go. And as you can tell, I'm just kind of really excited. I'm loving being dad again. I'm loving the whole experience of Lucas and, you know, having that little baby. It's just too freaking cool, guys. You know, it's really exciting stuff. And I think next podcast we'll probably talk a little bit more about the whole geek dadhood thing and just some of my thoughts on it and recommendations for new dads or dads to be, because I know there are a couple listeners out there who are expecting. So that's about it for now. Coming up on the next version of Radioactive, you can expect at some point a review of George R.R. Martin's A Feast for Crows. And this should be really cool because I know everybody liked it the first time around. Review of Battlestar Galactica Season 2 soundtrack. I've got it. I've got permission to play some songs from it, and I think that may be the very next podcast, because it'll be easy to get another one out if I'm just reviewing that. And the short version is, it's an awesome soundtrack. If you like Galactica, gotta go get it now. As always, feedback is appreciated on the show. You can do it by visiting the forum, by going to nuketown.com and clicking on the forum link. Don't know how much longer that's going to be there for, because the new site doesn't necessarily have a forum link, but it may find its way in there anyway. you can also email me. The best way to do it is to email me at nuketown@gmail.com. You can also visit nuketown.com and just fill out the contact us form, and that'll all come to me. So, until next time, this has been Ken Newquist, your host. It's going to be a great summer, folks. Stop back again soon.